The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kuʻule Ogbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. I'm Kuʻule Ogbayani. Happy Aloha Monday. Hope you guys had an amazing weekend. Almost as amazing though as we did here at the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. It was quite the, last couple of days or a few days, maybe from the middle of last week. We've got a lot to get into today, folks. A lot of people to hear from, as well as we were all over the island. Well, I guess maybe in town, but still, nonetheless, we were all over the place for the last few days. So we will get you caught up with everything you may have missed from over the weekend, including some OIA championship action, some HPU, HPU, Chaminade, baseball. We'll get you some softball updates. We got championships that were won, not only, as I mentioned, OIA, softball and baseball, but we also have the teams in water polo and beach volleyball coming home with championships as well and punching their ticket into the NCAA tournament for their respective sports. It was crazy. There was so much that happened, and we have a lot to get into today as it deals mostly with local sports. I know at the end of last week, we spent a lot of time talking about the NFL draft, which we will also get to in just a couple of minutes. But first, I just want to start off the show by giving a shout out to our team here. Like I mentioned, they did so much the last few days, starting with last week, Wednesday. I mean, we were bringing you OIA softball last week, Wednesday. Paul and Michael and I did that 3-hour NFL draft show on Thursday. Friday, we were out giving you OIA baseball championship action, which was a doubleheader, and then softball on Saturday. And then Sunday was crazy. It was the whole thing. So shout out to everyone who came out and did their thing. And mahalo again to our amazing team here, Kyle and Alan. I hope they are resting their voices because they were calling all of those games, of so many games to call. And then Paul and Michael, of course, like my amazing team that does a lot of stuff behind the scenes, and all of the listeners. And of course, Chaz Ontai, who was manning the controls here in the studio for all of those games. So it was amazing. The listeners, you guys are all, if you guys tuned in, and you guys can listen on demand later on today as well. But appreciate our entire team that worked so hard this last, few days. And as I am getting a text message from our Alan Mia that his voice is almost gone. So again, shout out to our amazing team for all that they did. We were actually a game short, which we will get to in just a little bit, because there was no HPU softball game on Saturday afternoon, which maybe would have, I guess, maybe ended up being a good thing for Alan's voice so that he still has it. It was a day that I'll tell you guys about coming up on the show, which Saturday, and whether or not we were going to do the HPU softball game and whatnot. But once again, just wanted to start off the show by thanking our amazing team here and shout out all the other media members that we saw multiple times over the weekend as well. It was fun and we love what we do. It was a busy one, but yeah, I couldn't be more appreciative of just the solid team that we have here at the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. And that is almost just about wraps us up in terms of play-by-play. We're still trying to work on some stuff that we could potentially bring you for the remainder of the season, but that was our last big hurrah. We will bring you OIA Boys Volleyball Championship action on Wednesday, but for the most part, that weekend was kind of the one that we had penciled in the beginning of April, and we were looking at it like, all right, guys, we're going to do this, and we did. So it was a fun one. Lots of games. Again, we will recap stuff. OIA, Chaminade, HPU, stuff coming up on the show. But I just wanted, because we were the entire weekend for all of our NFL fans, a lot was going on that you guys probably kept track of. I won't make you suffer, especially if Alan's listening. I won't make you suffer anymore about all the Bears talk, but I did want to catch everybody up on the players with that either are from Hawaii or some kind of Hawaii ties that went drafted and some that went as undrafted free agents. So this was a fun fact, though. I want to go back to the first round of the NFL draft that the Polynesian Football Hall of Fame had pointed out that Polynesians represent 1/3 of 1% of the U.S. population, yet 15% of the 20 players selected during this week's or this year's NFL draft in the first round are Polynesian ancestry. So that was after there were a few that went in that first round, and Taliese Fuanga, who has had his watch party here in Waipahu, a lot of family that live here, especially out in Nanakuli, they were representing on their t-shirts the Nanakuli end. And then right after him being drafted at 15th overall was Laiatu Latu. And not too far down after that to the Steelers was Troy Fautanu, the offensive tackle out of Washington, again going to the Steelers. So three Polynesians in that first round, but also going up after that. And we talked about him before, out of BYU, Kingsley Suamataia. He went in the second round, 63rd overall, to the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, he played some or has family out in Kahuku from the IU football family tree and played some youth football out here on the islands. He went the highest in terms of the direct Hawaii tie that we had penciled in here looking ahead to the NFL draft. Also going pretty high in the third round, number 84 overall, wide receiver Roman Wilson, Maui native, St. Louis High School grad, and was most recently a national champion with the Michigan Wolverines. He's a new Pittsburgh Steeler. So for all of you guys out there, once again, round three, 84th overall is Roman Wilson. Then we get a little later, some other local guys. We have Maris Liufau out of Notre Dame and Punahou, linebacker, round three, number 87 overall, to the Dallas Cowboys, to right here. And we are the home of the Dallas Cowboys. And then in the sixth round, so I had to wait a little bit, but in the sixth round, Darius Muasal, linebacker out of Mililani High School, shout out, and then UCLA most recently, and then, of course, at the University of Hawaii. So sixth round, 183rd overall to the New York Football Giants, our AC Custodios team over here. And before we get you caught up with some of the other picks that went a little later in the draft, here is actually, we'll start first with what Maris Liufau had to say again, out of Punahou High School, Notre Dame, and now with the Dallas Cowboys. Shout out to the team at KHON2 Sports for being able to catch up with some of these local guys. So here is just real quick what Maris Liufau had to say following his selection.
Yeah, actually, it's funny. I never had a team. Like you said, Hawaii, we don't have a team here. And so I never had a team growing up. And now I'm a Cowboy, and so that'll be my family's new team.
Yeah, so Punahou, Notre Dame, Dallas Cowboys, three really powerful brands in their respective arenas. What does it mean to you to suit up for all three of those teams?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a special. It's a special opportunity that not everyone gets to have. And so I think it just comes with very hard work and carrying a lot of on your shoulders, but making those who supported you and got you to those places making them proud. And so just it would be a disservice to them for me to let them down and not do my work and put that work in to be able to be successful at those different places, because it's not easy to get to those places and it's not easy to be successful there. And so I have to do my part and make my family and loved ones proud.
And again, that was Maris Liufau after his selection. Shout out KHON2. Now here is Darius Muasau, so former Mililani High School and University of Hawaii, and then most recently at UCLA. This is what Darius had to say following his selection, going now a new New York Football Giant, round six, 183rd overall.
Just straight chaos right when I heard my name and once I got that phone call. But really, it was just a big stress reliever for me and just big relief. I was finally able to take a deep breath, breathe in, and just hug my loved ones, knowing that, you know, I made it this far, but, you know, now I know it's just another stepping stone for me, new chapter in my life, and I'm ready to take that on. Just excited, really. We really went on an emotional roller coaster this whole time. I really just grateful for the opportunity. That's all I needed was one team to take a shot on me, and I know I'm going to make the best of this, and, you know, I'm going up to New York, ready to represent my family, represent the state. I'm ready to take on New York.
Oh, what a fun time. Again, congratulations to a lot of these guys who were selected in the NFL draft with the direct Hawaii ties. Now, the Darius Musau situation is kind of funny because he, so currently, and I forget who tweeted it, but so I wish I could give them credit. Again, shout out to KHON2 News or KHON2 Sports for getting some of that audio. And of course, mahalo to Rob DeMello, who allows us to use some of that stuff. But Darius is, so he's going to the New York Giants, and he is, or an actually former UH special teams coordinator, Michael Golbriel, is actually the current special teams coordinator there for the Giants. And if you guys, if he doesn't sound entirely familiar, he was part of a Coach Rolo staff in 2018, 2019, and then went to Wazoo as well when Coach Rolo went over there. So it's kind of interesting tie. And of course, Darius played for UH and was recruited by Coach Rolo. So it's kind of coming full circle. I know he doesn't play on special teams per se, as he's listed as a linebacker, but nonetheless, it's pretty interesting how things work out that way. And now he ends up on the New York Giants. Again, like our AC Custodios team. Just real quick for some of the other guys, also being drafted originally from Las Vegas, but he did play for the University of Hawaii before going to Oklahoma. Defensive tackle Jonah Laulu, he was selected with the 234th overall pick to the Colts. So that's the final round, and that was the final pick for Indianapolis. So he makes kind of that cutoff, gets drafted. Other guys getting in there, Chevin Cordero actually signed an undrafted as an undrafted free agent by the Seattle Seahawks. So joining the quarterback room consisting of Geno Smith and Sam Howell. And this is the other interesting thing that happened as well. Taulia Tagovailoa, the younger brother of Tua Tagovailoa, of course, from Kapolei and then Alabama and then Maryland most recently. He was actually invited to the Seahawks rookie minicamp where he could potentially earn a contract. So that was kind of interesting to see Chevin sign that undrafted free agent deal with the Seahawks. And then right after you on the news cycle, you see Taulia Tagovailoa being invited to the rookie minicamp. Also, Lincoln Victor, former wide receiver for Hawaii and Washington State. He, according to Stephen Tsai of the Star Advertiser, he tweeted about this a little later yesterday. So Lincoln Victor signed as an undrafted free agent with the Denver Broncos. So a lot of guys, and it's crazy. And a lot of the local media members were saying, like, when you look back at some of those players that were part of the mass exodus following the Todd Graham COVID tenure. I mean, this is crazy for a lot of these players to be selected in the NFL draft, especially the ones that are from Hawaii, because you guys know it's like such a small population compared to the rest of the country and other states that just the percentage, just like going back to what I mentioned earlier via the Polynesian Football Hall of Fame, that having that huge representation in the NFL for a group of people that had like the population in the entire country is so small. But congratulations, and we're excited to and looking forward to seeing how a lot of these players do coming up in the fall already, and it can't get here soon enough. All right, we got to step aside. When we come back, we will get you caught up with the OIA baseball and softball championship action that happened over the weekend and hear from a couple of the winning coaches next on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuulei Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den. I'm Kuulei Ogbayani. Mahalo for tuning in on this Aloha Monday as we take you through all the craziness that happened over the weekend. As Alan Mia was in here earlier and you can tell we're all tired, so I can't thank this team enough on what we pulled off this past weekend with all of the games that we carried. And a couple of those games were the OIA championship games for baseball and softball. Lots of fun action, and definitely we'll get into, let's see, we'll start off with baseball first because that's where we were on Friday, so we'll just go in, you know, order. So okay, well, this is a fun fact, and thank you to our Michael Escaro, before I get you, who won, that all these teams that won the OIA Division I, Division II baseball and softball championships, the last time they each won that league title were all in 2017. So it's crazy. Like, how did it happen that way where every single team that won, last time they won was 2017 for all of them? Usually sometimes it's like, you know, someone won their first one or someone went back to back or maybe won a couple of years ago. It's never this case where we get all the teams, both boys and girls, and then Division I, Division II, that they all won in the same year, or the last time they all won in the same year, and now they all win the same year again. So, but for baseball, in Division I, Kailua takes it, beating Aiea 8-1. It's the 15th league title for Kailua baseball and the 9th under their current head coach. And then in Division II, Waianae beats Radford 11-1. So not anything too dramatic, but nonetheless, Kailua, the kings of Division I, and Waianae get the Division II title. And our Michael Lescaro actually had a chance to catch up with the Waianae head coach, Ben McQuown, who is actually a former baseball player and a Waianae grad as well. So he talks a little bit about just being able to bring this home for the community of Waianae. But this is what Coach Ben had to say following their win of the OIA Division II baseball championship.
To end off the season, 8 straight, you guys look comfortable. You guys look comfortable today. What do you have to say about the way your boys finish off the season?
Oh, man, two tough losses in the beginning of the season to two good teams, Kapolei and Kahuku, but, you know, we never let that waver get us down. We told ourselves this is what we're playing for right here, the OIA championship. We're not playing for a regular season, playing for the postseason, and we got the job done these past 3 days, so I'm super proud of these boys for being resilient and staying true.
You're a Waianae grad yourself, right? I mean, you guys have the community here supporting you guys. What does this mean to you, mean to these boys, and mean to your fans out here?
I mean, it definitely means a lot. You know, just something for our team and our community to be proud of. You know, not a lot of good things been said about Waianae in the past year or so, and this is something that, like I said, we can be proud of, a little shining light for our community.
Last one. How about Trey's been on the mound and at the plate today? What a game for him. Like, what do you have to say about the way he played today?
I can't really show that. A big-time player show up in big-time moments. And, you know, 3-for-3 at the plate. Definitely shut it down on the mound. And, you know, that kid has been real resilient, you know, real resilient. Regular season, he hasn't had his best stuff. But, like I said, he turns it on in the postseason dating back to 2 years ago, sophomore season. He really led us to the championship then. And you know, we're just going to keep letting them carry us, even in the state playoffs.
You guys have a pretty strong team with a lot of returners. I know last year you guys fell short in the semis and had to go in that backdoor game against State. How much hungry was this team coming off that last year in the season?
Definitely a lot hungrier. We felt like we deserved to be in that state championship game. You know, the way we lost in the last inning, 2-1 to Kauai, you know, the game could have went either way. Shiesten pitched that game too, pitched a hell of a game. Definitely on a redemption tour right now. We got the first part done. Now we're looking forward to the state title. We're going to get that OIA and state title. That's our goal.
Speaking of last year's state semifinal in this, it's a ballpark, you know, you guys have experienced a lot of the players here, Shiesten and Chasten, yes. You know, a lot of them. You look at the scoreboard, you know, Radford had more hits than you guys, but the scoreboard shows different, 11-1. Do you feel like you got the stage here wasn't too big for you guys and you guys were ready for the moment?
We got a veteran team. Even though we only have two seniors, you know, most of our returners our starters were sophomores last year, returning their juniors. So we're just a real veteran team. You know, we're gonna put pressure on the defense, take advantage of their mistakes, and that's what happened tonight, man. We just, you know, we're gonna celebrate this win and get back to work on Monday for sure.
And that was Waianae baseball head coach Ben McQuown and former baseball player and Waianae high school grad. So shout out to the community of Waianae. And as he mentioned, you know, it's, you know, not a lot of good news said out on that side, but they came out with the win 11-1 over Radford to claim the Division II title, OIA title. And then Kailua wins OIA Division I title 8-1 over Aiea. Now going over to the softball side, we brought you that action on Saturday evening. First in Division II, Aiea beats Radford 7-1 for their third overall title to at the top of Division 2. And then in Division 1, Mililani, shout out to all my Mililani people, 13-2 in five innings over Kapolei. And why did it end early? Mercy ruled. And this is their 12th title overall. And as I mentioned, all of these schools that won over the weekend, it's their first title since 2017. And Michaela Pagampau, oh my goodness, this young lady was phenomenal on Saturday. 3-for-4 from the plate, 6 RBI, 3 home run, including the 2-run bomb to left field that hit the tree on its way down that ended the game via mercy rule in the 5th inning. So that put them up to the 3-2, so game had to end in 5, and she was just phenomenal. 3 home runs. It was beautiful to watch. So Mililani at the top of Division 1, and Aiea gets the OIA Division 2 title. But for Mililani, this is what their head coach, Rose Antonio, had to say following that win.
We started playing defense. You know, throughout the game, we made the plays, and, you know, first couple of innings, we left runners on base. Yep. And, you know, we didn't press. We just, you know, we had to be patient and disciplined and look for our pitch to hit and then manufacture runs, you know. And you know, they saw the ball good tonight, a bunch of them, especially, you know, a lot of home runs by,
Now, Michaela, I mean, 3 home runs, have you ever had a player do that? You know, and just not just hit them, but these are well over the fence.
Yeah, this, not to my recollection that a player hit 3 home runs in a game.
Yeah, I mean, the way she did it, I mean, it just pivotal early point and then to blow it open and then end the game. I mean,
you know, when you get that type of gig, you're on fire. I mean, you just, the ball is big, you know, and she just went up there and did what she did.
Now, 3 inning-ending double plays by your team, and you mentioned the defense earlier, but just talk about how that kind of built momentum for your team.
You know, defense plays a key, you know. Like they said, offense wins games, but defense wins championships. And, you know, to do the defensive plays at the right time is huge.
Yeah. Now, your freshman pitcher really settled down as well, so just talk about her performance today.
Yeah, you know, she did good. She came back and started throwing, you know, strikes, and the batters hit, you know, and that's what you ask for them, you know, just to come and just pitch. And our defense is, they're going to back you up.
Yeah. Now, state tournament, just how do you feel now confidence-wise going into that?
I'm just excited. Yeah. You know, we're excited with this team that we have.
I just want to ask you about Michaela. I mean, she started the year as your number one pitcher, kind of, you know, took a step back, which obviously, you know, might be difficult to do, right? Get hit around a little bit. But how happy are you for her to come through with a game like this?
I'm very happy for her just to experience that. I mean, it's I'm really, really proud of her and happy for her.
And that was Mililani softball head coach Rose Antonio following their win over Kapolei to claim the OIA Division 1 softball title. And last bit of shout out to some of our Yayu players of the game. Obviously, that Mililani Kapolei game, we had no choice, but of course, to give it to Michaela Pagampau. I mean, her name just represents what she was able to do in that game in the Division 2 softball championship. Our Yayu player of the game was Aiea's Taja Souza, who pitched a complete game. Going back to the boys' side, Yayu player of the game for the Division 1 game was Kailua's Jaden Hunt, getting the win on the mound with 4 innings pitched and 3 strikeouts, and improved to 6-0 and remains undefeated with a .77 ERA through OIA play. And then last but of course not least, for the OIA Division 2, a baseball game going to Watanai's Shaisten Nagasaka, who did a lot on both sides batting. He went 3-for-3, 2 runs and 2 RBI. Pitching, of course, got the win with 5 innings pitched, 5 strikeouts, no walks, and a run. So they look forward to the state tournament, which won't happen for another couple of weeks. And there's still stuff with, I believe, like the ILH and stuff they need to finish out. So the baseball and softball state tournament doesn't happen until May 14th through the 17th. So got a couple more weeks. They can, you know, rest up a little bit and then get to practicing for the state tournament. As you heard, Watanai's baseball head coach, Ben McQuown, who said this is the redemption tour. So now they won the OIA and now they're looking forward to the state tournament. Okay, got to step aside. We still got a lot to get to. We haven't even got to a lot of the other baseball games that happened yesterday and the championship updates for UH women's sports. So don't go anywhere. We still got a lot for the second half of the show on Wake Up in the Den.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Kukule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. I'm Kukule Agbayani. It's a beautiful day. Well, it's always a beautiful day in Hawaii. Even though the weather outside is weather. Little overcast right now. No rainfall here in Kalihi, but nonetheless, again, it's still beautiful Hawaii, and I hope you guys are having a beautiful day as you do every day, because mahalo, you're listening to us on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, especially Wake Up in the Den. This is every weekday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. or on demand at HawaiiSportsRadio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate all of you guys for tuning in, and especially if you tuned into our wild weekend. Well, I guess starting from Thursday or Wednesday, we had softball Wednesday, our three-hour draft show on Thursday, doubleheaders on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Woo! It was a fun one. Again, shout out to our team here, Alamia, Kyle Galdera, Paul Brecht, Michael Escaro, and of course, Chaz Ontai for doing the darn thing throughout the weekend. But all right, so going to what another game that we were at covering over the weekend, a little bit on Saturday and yesterday, we brought the doubleheader action between HPU and Chaminade for baseball. Congratulations and shout out to the HPU baseball team for getting 30 wins. So they finished the season 30-20, 19-15 in conference. And because they were able to get the sweep on Saturday, so they got the series sweep to get themselves to 30 wins. So even though they had already clinched a PacWest Conference tournament berth on Friday because of some of the results, they wanted to keep winning to get to that 30 wins, while also getting the two PacWest wins on Saturday boosted them up from the four spot to the two seed in the tournament. And then getting the Sunday sweep made them get to that 30 win mark. So Saturday they beat Chaminade 13-8 and then 2-1. Again, those were PacWest games. And then yesterday beating Chaminade 7-6 and 9-3. So first postseason berth since 2010, in which they won the past PacWest, and first 30 win threshold that they've reached since 2016. So again, shout out to Dane Fujinaka and everything that he's been able to do with that program. And here is what Coach Dane had to say following the games yesterday.
Doubleheader sweep today, doubleheader sweep yesterday, end the season on a six-game win streak. Sharks are kind of swimming into this PacWest conference tournament, flying high. How do you feel about your team right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think we put it together for all four games. You know, I think the times that we weren't as offensive, like in game two, our pitching was able to pick us up, our defense was able to pick us up. But really all four games we played, I'm pleased with the way we played. But yeah, I mean, obviously it's great having that momentum going into the tournament. I mean, we're gonna play four really good teams that where anybody can beat anybody. So we've gotta be ready to go.
Looking at that PacWest tournament, what are some of those biggest keys for your team personally to keep in mind as you guys prepare for this tournament and going forward?
Sure, I think, the one thing when we were successful on the mound, at least, we get ahead, you know, and we're able to throw our pitches when we're ahead. Offensively, we put the ball in play, we play small ball, we run a lot of action, and then on defense, we take care of the ball. You know, I think when we're doing those three things, it's really hard to beat us. But yeah, I think those are probably the three key things we need to take into the tournament.
You guys had a lot on the line yesterday in terms of Pac West standings. You guys had a lot on the line today in terms of getting to that 30 win threshold. First time the program's made it there since 2016. What does getting to that number mean for you as the head coach of this program and where you're trying to take this HPU team?
Yeah, it's huge. From day one, our goal was to win 30 games, and you know, we thought that that would put us in a spot to make the tournament and have a chance at potentially an at-large bid. So, I think hats off to the seniors, obviously, and the guys in our clubhouse that they grinded, man. They earned every win that they got, and I'm happy that, you know, they're able to get that for themselves.
Last thing for you. You guys had a rival here on Oahu in Division II. What was that like? Full season finally, and what were some final thoughts on what Chaminade was able to do this season?
Yeah, man, I mean, hats off to them and the coaching staff. I mean, Chad's put together a really good team and a really good young core group that they're going to be really competitive from here on out, and they were this year, even being their first year. So, not good for us because there's another great coaching staff and great team in Hawaii, but obviously it's awesome to see that type of competitiveness in the conference.
And that was Paul Breck catching up with HPU baseball head coach Dane Fujinaka. And I love how you said that. Not good for us because Chaminade now has a good coaching staff and they do have a bright future, but it's still going to be really, really competitive here in local baseball in the Division II side. And HPU prepares for the PacWest Conference tournament that's coming up. And we were talking about how some of the teams that they will face. So Point Loma clinched the PacWest regular season championship. And then Westmont technically finishes second in the baseball standings. However, they are just like when we talk about the Big West here a lot in Division I, they are in that transition period. So they don't get to qualify for the postseason tournament. So HPU slides into that number two spot, finishing at 17-15, but just having the overall advantage of wins and the tiebreaker with Concordia, who conference-wise finished with the same record, but HPU has more wins on Concordia. And then Azusa Pacific finishes at that fourth spot. So when it comes to Concordia and Azusa, this is good for HPU being opposite and that two seed of Point Loma, at least for the first day, because they didn't get any wins against Point Loma in the conference slate, but they did get wins against Azusa and Concordia. So the postseason tournament happens May 8th through 10th at Azusa Pacific. And hopefully we can try to get you coverage out there, but you know, we're still a baby station. But you know what? I'm going to throw out the bat signal. So if anybody wants to sponsor our broadcast to try to bring you guys coverage of Hawaii Pacific University baseball, then feel free to give us a text, 808-888-KGU1, 808-888-5481. I don't know if that's frowned upon, but you know what? At this point, again, we're just going to throw out the bat signal and maybe somebody wants to help us bring you guys coverage of Hawaii Pacific University baseball as they are competing in the postseason for the first time since 2010. All right, but I want to give some love to Chaminade as we mentioned it a bunch of times. This is the first time the program has returned at Chaminade in over 40 years. And what Chad Konishi was up against and what he had to deal with, a super young team mixed with some older transfers, and he was still able to put out, I mean, yes, they finished 15-33 overall, 8-22 in conference, but you know, there were like eight or so games where they lost by one run or less. They do have a win or two against HPU, who's a solid team. So a couple of those blemishes on the HPU record came at the hands of Chaminade. And this is what Chad, head coach of Chaminade, Chad Konishi, had to say following their game yesterday.
You know, the start of a new season, I'm a new chapter for this program, right? You know, we're not even looking at the score or the record, but, you know, talk about this year's first year group, you know, Chaminade baseball in a while, you know, what can you say about this group?
Really proud of their efforts. I tell people, I don't think our record is indicative of how hard we've played, and you know, success is not built on just 1 year wins and losses. I think it's the experience the young kids got, you know, the JC kids taking it to the next level, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, we don't have our own field. We practice at the Alawai. You know, not one day did they they ever complain about practicing there or whatever. They showed up early in the mornings for practice. You know, they worked hard. Could we work harder? Yeah, we could work smarter. Yeah. But I was really proud of their competitiveness. Some days we didn't, we lacked execution. Some days we did. You know, we won 15 games. I think that's probably a good starting point. You know, but I do want to say that we lost 8 games by 1 run or less. We lost another 3 or 4, 2 runs or less. So, you know, I was hoping to get 20 wins in our first year, and I think that would be a huge, huge accomplishment. But as I said in the beginning, in the fall, I think putting a team out on the field was an accomplishment in itself.
What were some of the highlights and things, positive things that you saw from your team that you really liked this year?
Well, a lot of these kids, nobody else recruited. A lot of these kids, nobody else gave them a chance. And to see, you know, a guy like Rin Chambers emerge, see a guy like Ryan Ruck, who really is a great story because I think he had 3 at-bats in the first 2 weeks, and just my gut said I'm going to put him out in the outfield, and he hasn't yet to come out of the lineup until the day he got hit in the face with a ball. And really proud of him about his persistence and his ability to stick with it. Chance to bring JT Navjak home was big for me, as I was looking for a senior, older, left side of the diamond guy to complement my 3 high school shortstops. Evan Williams developing there midway through all the way till tonight, being kind of the glue to the left side of the infield. You know, seeing Joe Dacour run a ball out of this park of all places, both fences, you know. So, I mean, I think the future is bright. You know, I know we're not there. But like I said, if the road trip, if we could have won 1 from Point Loma, I think that road trip would have been successful. But we're close, but yet we're not close, you know. And but I really want to thank my assistants who've been so good. In helping me bring this program along, believing in me, believing in the school, believing in our mission to build a first-year program. And I think we're on our way, but we have to make some headway and strides. And, you know, I feel good that we will do that here in the next couple of years.
You guys honored 2 seniors tonight. You mentioned JT already, and I think Haruki is a grad student. You know, just talk about those 2 guys and just – you know, being that senior and coming in, you know, knowing that this is the first year of a program, a young program, but, you know, just setting the groundwork for the foundation for the future.
Yeah, I mean, it was big for me to bring JT home, you know, local boy, Division I player, portal kid, and for him to choose us over HPU or Hilo was huge. It was a big recruiting coup for us, you know, and extremely happy he chose and gave us a chance to finish out his senior year. And you know, the numbers don't show, you know, whatever his ERA or the batting average, but you know, the fact that he believed in us and the familiarity of school, being that he, you know, went to St. Louis and that he could play in front of family and friends, I think was a huge decision for him. You know, another good story was Haruki, you know, who probably was not going to travel, you know, and due to some guys getting hurt or whatever, and his time came up and he was put into the lineup and he started to have some success. And, you know, he, like I said, hasn't come out of the lineup until we took him out there, you know, in honor of his senior knee. So hats off to him and JT. And like I said, we're fortunate to have both of them, you know, come through our program and in this inaugural year or resurrected year. Could be 2 better kids that have played for us in 1 year's time and now are going to move on.
How are you guys going to approach the off season and the summer?
Well, I got a lot of kids going out to play summer ball. I think summer ball is a great place for our kids to continue to get better and develop and see where they are at amongst other kids across the country. You know, we have some things that we've talked about as a group. You know, we got to get stronger. I think that was something noticeable about us, is that, you know, we got 22 high school kids, and we got a lot of teams that we played that are 5th and 6th year seniors. So the physicality was noticeable. you know, but you know, also being able to play a lot of the freshmen was helpful in the development of the program, you know. So but the weight room is going to be big next year, and you know, interesting week. You know, we have exit interviews coming up, and you know, we're hoping that guys return and they enjoy their experience here in Hawaii and school and the program, and you know, start to fill in some of the holes that we think that we may need to replace.
And that was Chaminade baseball head coach Chad Konishi. Now Michael Lascaro catching up with him after the games yesterday to wrap up the regular season for Chaminade and HPU. And tale of two different seasons, you know, HPU makes it to the postseason, and not enough can be said about what Dane Fujinaka has been able to do with that program to turn it around in just a few years. And then at the same time, what Coach Chad has been able to do with Chaminade, and you heard him say how young that team is, and just going in the offseason, getting stronger. And you know, the guy's competitive. I mean, he used to coach at the University of Hawaii. So a lot that is going to be done in the offseason, but it's exciting to have just another baseball program here in Hawaii, albeit the Division II level. But just real quick, before we take our next break, or more so just a short break, and just hear the traffic report, the University of Hawaii baseball team, who are on the road, improved to 500 in conference after getting the series sweep, the three-game series sweep over the weekend at UC San Diego. Friday, they won in 10 innings, 4-3. Saturday, they won 14-6, and then Sunday, 15-10. So putting it up some runs, those baseballs are. And now they return home and they play the University of Hawaii Hilo tomorrow at Les Murakami Stadium. So if you guys want some middle of the week baseball, you can head out to the Les to watch UH Hilo and the Rainbow Warriors tomorrow again. But Hawaii, good sweep of UC San Diego, because UCSD is actually right in front of them in the Big West Conference standings, as they are 13-8, and Hawaii again sitting at 9-9, 500 in the conference. Okay, got to take a quick break. This is going to be really, really quick, because we still got a lot of stuff to talk about and play for you guys, or coaches to hear from. But we'll be back after this traffic report on Wake Up in the Den. Don't
stop me. Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Ku'ule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
I told you guys we'd be back right after the traffic report, because we're having a good time here on Wake Up in the Den. Thank you for joining me on this Aloha Monday. I'm Ku'ule Agbayani. Mahalo for tuning in. As we are recapping the weekend, we talked some NFL draft updates earlier in the show, just to get you caught up where a lot of the local players or players with Hawaii ties ended up in the NFL draft. Also, we heard from a couple of coaches from this weekend's OIA baseball and softball championships. Again, the state tournament doesn't happen for another couple of weeks for baseball and softball. And then just in the previous segment, we recap some Division II baseball with HPU and Chaminade closing out the regular season against each other yesterday at the last. So if you missed any of that and you're just tuning in, you can always listen on demand at HawaiiSportsRadio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, we want to stick to the diamond, though, because one of the games that we weren't able to cover over the weekend, it was penciled into our calendar. We chuckled about it, that maybe it all happened. Maybe the radio gods wanted to protect the voices of our guys over here in Kyle Galdera and Alan Mia, because the original plan for Saturday was not only to bring you the OIA softball doubleheader championship, which we did, but earlier in the day, we were planning to bring you HPU softball versus Chaminade, which would have been their senior day game. It would have been a doubleheader at 12 and 2. We were going to carry the 12 o'clock game. However, that one got pushed back and then ultimately canceled because of the inclement weather that was happening over there on the windward side. But it was the senior day game and celebrating their lone senior in Hoku Ching for the Sharks. And it was also the last hurrah at the iconic Howard A. Okita Field. So unfortunately, there was no game that took place, but of course, still honoring the season and donning the lei for a lot of the players and, of course, the lone senior in Hoku Ching. But I was able to stop over there to catch up with head coach Jarnett Lono of the Sharks, just to get her thoughts and reaction to kind of just what happened on Saturday, and being that They will now move to their new home at Sand Island next season. And this was their last time at Howard A. Okita Field. So this is what head coach Shorty had to say on Saturday.
It's a bittersweet moment to sort of walk away from the place that we are all so very fortunate to have played on. We would have loved to have seen competition here against Chaminade, and Chaminade was fortunate enough to call this place home 2 years in a row as well. And so it meant something to those girls as well. And just to put the final door, the final nail in the coffin, to kind of turn the page and move on in the chapter, I think... yeah, it's a bittersweet sweet moment for all of us.
Tell us about some of your memories. I know there's a lot because you've been part of this program for a very, very long time. But if you could just kind of share all of the thoughts and emotions going through your head right now.
What I really loved about today and the rainy weather was the fact that the girls had to get back on the field and sponge up all the excess water, try to get the field ready. So it shows that, you know, all the discipline that we taught over the years, it wouldn't go without honoring Coach Owen that way, and using the towels, using the cups to try to get the field ready. So that was something that I really enjoyed seeing today. Some other stories, of course, you know, the tree falling down from last season. That was a big one. That's never happened before. And to this day, you know, the girls from last season were able to clear all of that stuff without support or help from our admin, which is amazing. But that's just this team, that's this place. We've always been self-sufficient. We've always cared for our players as our own family, and so that's built into who we are as HPU Sharks, Sea Warriors, and Mongoose.
You know, it's all of those things, right? That's why we got to remember all of the nickname. But tell us a little bit about your senior that was honored today, in Hoku Cheng, your lone senior, fortunately. So, but yeah, to share a little bit about her.
Well, Hoku comes from Honolulu. She is a graduate of Roosevelt High School. That's important because I'm also a Roosevelt Rough Rider. So, you know, we want to see the public school kids who are from Hawaii excel and exceed at the next level. And so she's a great story. You know, out of high school, she wasn't a kid that any school was going to pick up. So she basically gave up on playing softball. And we heard that she was on campus. We invited her out. She came. And, you know, 4 years later, she walks away from having an amazing experience as an HPU Shark. And then she's also finishing her degree in biology. So, you know, some things about Hoku: all the potential in the world, very mild-mannered, a silent leader. You can tell she got the respect from all of her teammates, the underclassmen. She's not going to say much, but her actions speak louder than what she's going to say anyways.
Mm-hmm. And then just tell us a little bit about the season as a whole and your thoughts about the season, and then looking ahead for next year as well.
I really looked forward to this season because I thought on paper, like, we matched up well with everybody. And so, you know, to see what the record is on paper doesn't really fulfill what we've actually done. Yes, you know, scholarships, budgets, all those things continue to go on the decline, but still, you've got to support a team of athletes who are going to compete. And so these girls, they came in here every day, they worked their butts off. You know, they loved the system, they loved the culture, they loved the program, and they gave it all they could. A few games here or there that I think we should have won, but that's neither here nor there now. We get a great solid core coming back next year. It's going to be fun. You can tell just the excitement of this junior class. You know, they're looking forward to get us back to the prominence of being the PacWest leader.
All right, last one for you here. You were mentioning that you got a lot of text messages from a lot of alumni. But just in general, what do you want to say to maybe some, not only HPU alumni, but just especially the softball alumni and community that could be listening right now?
We love you. We thank you. Without you folks, your support all these years, without families and Ohana and all the things that we stand for, without any of you folks, this wouldn't be possible for this team and teams that are going to come out. So, you know, it really is a family affair. We appreciate everybody. Mahalo.
Mahalo, Coach Jarnett Lono, a.k.a. Shorty, the head coach for the HPU softball program. And again, that was following there when I went out to that side just to kind of go and support. It was, which would have been their senior day, however, because you know how the rain can be all finicky on the windward side as they wrap up their tenure at Howard A. Okita Field. And as she mentioned, bittersweet moment. If you want to get more of that interview and just the breakdown of some of the games and everything that went happen over the weekend, go to HawaiiSportsRadio.com. We have a bunch of stuff so that you guys can read and go through, see photos from everything I talked about today with the OIA and HPU, Chaminade, just a whole bunch of stuff. And then later on today or later on this morning, you'll be able to listen to all of the games that we did throughout the last few days on demand at HawaiiSportsRadio.com or wherever you get your podcast. So again, shout out to our amazing team that went through that weekend with Kyle Galdera and Alan Mia still having their voice, or at least Alan does. I haven't spoken to Kyle yet. And Paul Brecht, Michael Lescaro doing what they do, Chaz Ontai in the studio. It was quite the fun weekend. And last but certainly not least, definitely need to give a shout out to a couple of the University of Hawaii women's teams. Beach volleyball defeated UC Davis 3-0 in the semis of the Big West tournament and then beat Long Beach State in a close one, 3-2, in the dramatic title match to win their fourth title in eight seasons and their first title since 2018. So they punched their ticket into the NCAA championships, and they are the 9 seed and will open the tournament against number 8 seed LMU this Friday, 7 a.m. Hawaii time, and you can watch it on ESPNU. And then water polo, still continuing their tear through the season, wins their 5th Big West Conference title, first since 2021, after beating Long Beach State 9-5, and they get their auto bid in the NCAA tournament. We will find out where they play for their 8th appearance coming up in the selection show later today, so we'll get you caught up with that tomorrow. But other than that, we gotta go. I'm Kuhle Ugbayani. Mahalo for listening. Bye!